Dear participants, thank you for standing by and welcome to the DSM's conference call. Throughout today's presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If you have a question, you may dial star one at any time. Now I'd like to turn over the call to Mr. Herman Betten. Please go ahead.
Thank you and good morning. Welcome to this conference call on DSM's strategy update, which we published earlier this morning. Sitting here with me are both Mr. Feike Sijbesma, CEO and Chairman of the DSM Managing Board, and Mrs. Geraldine Matchett, CFO and member of the Managing Board. Mr. Sijbesma will give a short introduction, and after that, both will be available to answer your questions. For this call, we have 30 minutes, so we will finish by 9 o'clock. And as always, today's conference call can contain forward-looking statements, and in that regard, I have to point you to our disclaimer regarding forward-looking statements as published on our website and in our press releases. And with that legal language, I would like to hand over the call to Feike and Geraldine. Feike, please go ahead.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Appreciate you calling. Indeed, today we publish an update of our strategy. To put that in the right context, let's have a look where we are today. Officially, we're still in the previous strategic period, which officially ends at the end of 2018. But we pulled it forward because already at the end of 17, basically we met all the targets for even the end of 18. So we're doing well over the recent years. What are we doing well? In the years before, 2010, 2015, we divested and acquired a lot of businesses. We changed DSM, we changed the portfolio. And the last couple of years, we have shown that that portfolio can grow above market, that that portfolio can deliver the right financial returns, and we overachieved on all targets. Good. And therefore, we put forward this strategic update to mid-2018 instead of end of 2018. How do we position ourselves to the future? We will sharpen the position of the company. We will be a company active in nutrition, in health, and sustainable living. That is the focus of DSM. And with that being in nutrition, health, and sustainable living, we address three important domains. We address the domain of nutrition and health, which people are concerned about climate and energy, people are concerned about scarce resources and the circular economy. And in that field, which is interacting with each other, we can position our company. And with doing that, we address the mega trends in the world, having to do with the same concerns about health and climate, etc. We address the UN Sustainable Development Goals of addressing those things. In that field, we can do well and we can do good for the world at the same moment. And we believe increasingly the combination of the two will be important. It's not either or. Today we are a company who have shown that you can do both at the same moment. In the future, you have to do both together, giving a contribution to the world and your financial results. Clean Cow is a good example of that. A product in nutrition, a new food feed ingredient, which is addressing climate and the reduce of emissions. So this direction of the company in nutrition, health, sustainable living gives further direction of the growth of our nutrition business into more also the food and beverage space, also into personalized nutrition. Also, we will further expand our own consumer brand products with iHealth and, of course, nutritional ingredients. Our materials business will get a more direction. We will focus more on health, on biomedical. We will focus more on green applications, on bioproducts, which fits also both more with the rest of the company. So a clear direction of the different businesses. What can we do with that? We can do with that is that we can continue in the years ahead to grow faster than the markets we operate in, at a higher basis, by the way, because we are much bigger than a couple of years ago. Our main financial targets will be a high single-digit EBITDA growth, and again also on a much higher basis, which is, I think, 50% higher roughly than we had before, but we will continue with a high single-digit EBITDA growth. We will continue also with our return on capital employed, but our main other targets, so with two main targets, is high single-digit EBITDA growth and cash growth. The adjusted net operating cash flow will be about 10% a year, where in 16-17 that was about 5% per year. The company will sharpen the area it's operating in, like I said, and will continue to grow very fast, not only organically, but also inorganically. At this moment, we have a net debt of about $500 million. We have still some non-core joint ventures to divest a small part, and we're cash generating. So we are moving towards debt-free company, and that gives room also for acquisitions, predominantly in nutrition, which is today also our biggest business. And we say, as a little bit keeping it straight and stiff for ourselves, if we cannot find the right acquisitions or at the right price in due time, whatever that is, then of course we will consider other ways of returning money to our shareholders in share buybacks or whatever. But that's not our goal now. Our goal now is to find the right acquisitions. So a further scoping of the company in nutrition, health, sustainable living, a company which is exactly positioned in the right growth domains, and with our innovation programs, we can really show a difference there to the world and financially. We can grow faster top line, we can grow faster bottom line, we can grow faster our cash generation, and we can grow also inorganically via M&A. Then we have full confidence in that future. It's being shown by another announcement today about our dividend. Normally we had a stable, we still have a policy, stable to rising dividend, but the normal steps were 5 or 10%, or some years we had with no step up, not all years we had a step up. Now for the first time we announced a step up of 25%, already applying to the interim dividend, when is that, August coming. And that indicates a little bit our trust into the future. Otherwise, of course, we would not do that. So we feel very comfortable with this strategy, that DSM is on the right track. Once again, sharpened our focus and indicated how we grow organically, in which innovations and the things we mentioned, Clean Cow, Niaga, Green Ocean, all those things will play a very important role, and also inorganically, and with the dividend, have full trust towards the future. And with that, I would like to open the floor for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will start the question and answer session now. If you have a question or remark, you can press star 1. Star 1 for questions or remarks. Please go ahead. The first question is from Mr. Bart Meijer, Reuters. Your line is open.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you for your time. First of all, some questions on the acquisitions we might expect and that you promise. I have heard you mention a figure of around 3 billion euros that is available for acquisitions. So first of all, can you please confirm that that number? And secondly, can you tell us something more about your plans when you look at acquisitions in nutritional space? Will this be in new activities or to strengthen existing activities, new geographies or not? And what is your time frame vis-a-vis promise to consider other shareholder returns?
Okay. I will say something about scoping, but let's first indeed have a look how much money we have. I look to Geraldine and then I will fill in a little bit scoping. Geraldine, how much money do we have?
Okay, good morning everyone. I think the best way of looking at it is what we indicate in terms of our midterm capital structure. What we're looking at is probably midterm to have a leverage of around 1.5% to 2.5% of EBITDA. So if you take the middle of that range, our current kind of EBITDA, your number of 3 billion is not unreasonable. So that would be the best way of looking at it.
Yeah.
Is that two or three? What did you say?
Three.
Three, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. So, yeah, your figure is right. And we didn't indicate exactly the time frame, but we realized we cannot sit for years on that amount of money. So therefore, we say we cannot find the targets or too expensive. At the end, we will consider other ways to return money to shareholders, like share buybacks. But at this moment, that's not our focus. Our focus is to see whether we can find the right targets. Where we said predominantly in nutrition, our nutrition is now the biggest part of the company. It will remain the biggest part of the company. And so most of the M&A will be also being done clearly in that field. We will, in that field, not only focus on early life, like we do today in infant formula, et cetera, or supplements, but also expand further our portfolio into the whole food and beverage area, where we see clear opportunities in consumer brands, like we have already successful $250 million business in consumer products. So in that whole space, we can look for acquisitions, of course. You know that I will not say anything about specific candidates. It would be unwise for me to do that even. So, we make announcements there when they come.
Okay, and one more question, if I may. Then on materials, the new focus, will this also mean that you will be doing new things and stopping other activities with materials? Can you say something more specific about the consequences for the materials division?
Yeah, the materials business already over the years, but it will strongly continue that direction, will be in more high growth areas, in high margin areas where we can make a difference. And a difference especially in the domains I've described, around health, around climate, and those and resources, etc. So with this focus and new description of the company, we give clear direction of materials where to innovate and where to grow and where not to look at. Everything outside those areas, as I described, they should not look. Everything in those areas, they should look. And that means with health and bio and all that stuff, we create more cohesion also in the company. Remind you, we grow in those areas much faster than the market. The markets do 2-3%. We can grow about 5%. In the materials or even the bulk materials, chemicals, EBITDA margins of 10-15% are not uncommon. We are already today at 17%, and we indicate that in this strategic period, we will ramp up our EBITDA margins, so profit margin in materials up to 18-20%. We have return on capital employed in that business above 20%. So we really position that business as a specialty business, adjacent and coherent with the rest of this company. And there they should look at. And there it fits. And of course, like I said, most of the acquisitions will be done in the nutrition space.
Thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Leon Bogaert, AMP. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for your time. A couple of my questions have already been answered. I had one question about cost control. Is there more to say about the cost control that you're seeking for? And
good
what
point.
Way?
Good
what
point.
Way?
Okay. Let me put it a little bit in context. So when we did our strategy 2015, we launched what was a major organizational restructuring and really changing the business model. Now, the good news is that we are very much on track and pretty much completed that phase, which took costs out of the organization of about, we'll probably end 2018, which was always the intended end of that set of programs, at about 270 million of costs out of the organization. So what we're looking at going forward is, on the one hand, anchoring this new way of working, because it is a fundamentally different way of organizing ourselves. And it's very important that while we're pushing for organic growth and while we're entering an M&A phase, that we maintain and really get the right discipline around the costs. It's always finding the right balance between cost and quality of service, and we will continue to push there. Now, we haven't ring-fenced in this strategic period another set of programs of this scale because we don't have this major organizational change that's going to happen. Having said that, and it's highlighted in some of our presentations today, we do have several angles that we will be using to continue to push on the efficiency side. One of them is all the work around customer centricity, which is something that has been initiated already. So it's started, but is going to scale up across the organization. And that is really making our sales and marketing efforts a lot more impactful. So that's one big highlight. And the other one is digitalization. So automation and robotization is going to be a very important component of how we continue to move our efficiency curve in the right direction. And here I could talk for hours because there's so many aspects where digitalization is taking place. But if I group it in three main buckets, the first one is all about customer intimacy. So you're talking about e-channels, the front end of the organization. And so there's a lot of work going on there, and we will continue to be pushing that aspect. The second bucket is operational digitalization, and here think of plants, so everything to do with production, a lot of data analytics to optimize, but also robots in our monthly closing process is one of the activities. So there's a lot of automation that can be put in organization. And the third big bucket is new business models. And this is something that we're looking at very carefully, not only where are the opportunities, think of personalized nutrition, for example, all the apps that we wear using data to optimize our nutrition. But we also have connectivity, and that can lead to very different approach to animal nutrition. And there's a lot that we could say, but these are the key factors that are going to be playing into maintaining our progress in terms of cost efficiency.
Thank you, but especially the operational, the second part you said about the robots and the productivity and the production. Is there also that perhaps means that there will be some layoffs in personnel?
Well, the focus very much here is about handling the growth that we're going to be generating in a very cost-efficient manner. So where we see digitalization, and I know that it's a subject that does come, you know, broadly in society, is does digitalization and automation come at the expense of jobs? We believe that it just makes our people more efficient and that they can handle more if they're properly equipped. And I have many examples of that already in the support functions, where what we're able to do is basically increase the coverage that one person can handle by giving the right tools and the right systems and the harmonization of systems. So it's more in that frame of mind.
So the layoffs is not in the picture now, not the question now.
Not a major component. Now there's always, you know, a bit of readjusting here and there in an organization. Yeah. You can never say we're static, but it is not a major shift for this strategic period.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Andrew Noel, Bloomberg. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thanks for the time. Just to maybe, you know, if I look back 3 to 5 years, it's such a contrast where you are now than where you were then. And I don't need to bring up all the itemized things that you were going through. Could you just sum up? You know, I'm aware that there was a 1,100 job cut program at some point, and there's been some costs taken out. But could you sort of sum up what those internal measures total, you know, what you did to the business? That's my first question. Thank you.
Okay. It's not only cost. If I may say, what made the turn in the recent years maybe starts at the top line. We have been growing faster than the markets and faster than before. And we will build onto that in the coming period. We put customer centricity higher on the agenda. We changed a little bit also our sales organization. We changed the focus of our sales organization much stronger by choosing for the right winning segments, the right winning customer groups, etc. So we did a lot on training and education of our sales force, on backing them with systems and all that stuff. And for the future, with the things Geraldine mentioned on digitization, can help that further by our whole customer centricity project, help that further. So the first big change, which places our company at a different position is this whole focus on the top line, customer centricity, etc., and we can build on that. The second thing is the innovations, the focus on the smaller list of bigger projects, which helped us and which will help us even stronger in the coming years with Clean Cow, Green Ocean, Stevia, Vera Maris, Niagara, which all still have a negative EBITDA contribution today because they cost money, and will switch to a clearly positive contribution with a lot of potential into the future. And the third thing is indeed cost, working capital, etc. And like Geraldine mentioned, we made a big step up there. It's not that we have a huge program there now to reduce the cost further. However, we will put a lot of effort in all kinds of more silent projects, which are maybe less visible in total for the outside market, but which will be internally not unnoticed, to remain ourselves sharp on the cost and working capital and all that stuff. And I think that combination of top line and innovation and cost at the end of the day positions ourselves different today than where we were. Building, to be honest, and we do that today again, further on being well positioned, because you can only grow faster than the market if you position yourself right. And I think that is one of the things which we did strategically, is position ourselves in the areas where the money, where the world wants to spend its money. And the world wants to spend its money on health, on their own nutrition, on staying healthy, on addressing the climate, and those kinds of things. And like I said, doing well for the world and doing well for yourself, doing good, those kinds of things will go increasingly hand to hand. So it is positioning, it is focus on the top line, it's innovation, and it's cost.
I realize, you know, you mentioned educating your sales forces and stuff, but, you know, so I imagine you're comparing yourself to your peer group like DuPont Danisco. I mean, in that instance, how can you push volumes more than them? Is it a lower cost base or you know, because your margins are sustained, or you know I'm just trying to get my head around it really, I suppose, or you've got a better product, you've just got better products, or of course, yeah, that's a yes to that one.
It's a good question. In the presentation later on today, I have a slide about it also. If you grow faster than the market, you might say you gain market share. Mm. Yeah. So if you gain market share, this is cost at the cost of margin and prices. No. Okay, so what do you do different? And that is all to do with the mindset of your own people, the aggressiveness of your own people, but also what we did, it sounds maybe very obvious. Choosing the right customer segmentation, market segmentation, you said, is that a new book you bought about customer and market segmentation? And that's nothing new. No, that is nothing new. But to implement it in a company of 25,000 people in all regions in the world, in all different businesses, in all areas, etc., that is easier said than done. And I think we are in almost all businesses very well positioned. We know exactly, we have all the tool base, we know exactly which customer segment is growing faster, which is going not faster, etc. We know exactly where to focus on the so-called share of wallet of our customers and all that stuff. Because if you look also back, Andrew, where is the success of DSM coming from in the recent period? Which business mainly brought this to a success? The answer is all over the place, every business. No, but if I can, what was your real main area of growth? Well, it was in animal health, it was in human health, it was in nutrition, it was in materials, it was in new areas, all. And that indicates something, that we try to do something different.
I did a bit of preparation.
Sorry, Chairman. Because of the time, I would like to move to someone else now who might have a question, if you don't mind.
No problem.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question or a remark, you can still press star 1. Star 1 for questions or remarks. There are no further questions at this moment.
Well, then, Andy, back to you. At least I tried, eh? Andrew?
I'm going to get him back in the call. One moment.
please, we want Andrew back.
Can you hear me?
Hello? Yes, Andrew.
All right. Okay. Yeah, so, well, I'll make it short. Because I know you've got to move on, but you know, I obviously I did a bit of preparation ahead of today, and you know, and I looked at the time frame for the CMD, you know, in terms of what could be and could not be announced. But I'm very interested in the rebranding from a material science and life science company to nutrition, health, and sustainable living, because I know that these things are sort of pored over, and when I read the release this morning, my sort of heart jumped a little bit, because I thought, oh. You know, I'd already worked out that it's just a morning. No, nothing, you know, major could happen. You know, if you forgive me for saying that. But then when I read the release, I started to get worried, and I'm probably not alone in that. And you probably know where I'm coming from with this question. So if you could explain the rebranding.
What are you worried about? Sorry, I missed the worry.
I'll put it. Bluntly, then, I mean, you're changing from a material science to a life. Your previous branding was material science and life science company, and now this new nutrition, health, and sustainable living. The materials just completely gets lost. That's what I mean. And so I suddenly went through the release expecting to see some comment on a materials exit or something. You know, and I know that you take quite a long time over this kind of thing. So I'm just wondering.
No, you should not be concerned about this, because this is our strategy. At least we are not concerned about it, because we think it's a good move. But we do, indeed, we have a different narrative about the company. Indeed. We position sharper, reposition, further sharpen the focus of the company, whatever wording you want to use. We define clearly the domains in which we want to operate and want to contribute. In health and nutrition, in climate and energy, resources and circularity, as a nutrition, health and sustainable living company. Does that give direction to our nutrition business for the future? Yes. Does that give also, even stronger, direction to our materials business to the future, where to operate in and where not to operate in? Absolutely. Does that create more cohesion in the company in the future? Absolutely. Do we focus on our materials, if we focus more on health and bio and green, etc., more on the high growth and high margin areas? Absolutely. Will we continue to be predominantly a nutrition company and put most of our money into nutrition? Yes. That is the positioning of the company. And you can say, is this moving from one extreme to the other extreme? No. Is this giving clearly a further direction where to grow in? Yes, absolutely. Does this have consequences of our materials business where to look for and where not to look for? Yes. Does those areas fit together? Yes, as we see. I mean, nutrition has all to do with climate nowadays, as we see in Clean Cow or in Vera Maris. Nutrition and health has all to do. So those areas fit together, Andrew.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks a lot. I'll leave it there. And so you can...
Please. Yeah.
Thank you.
And we are not worried at least. Maybe we should be, but we are not.
All right. At 10 o'clock, I'm afraid we are going to have to close this call. In fact, we have one or two closing remarks.
No, basically Andrew did the closing remarks for me, so I appreciate that, because it is about repositioning and further sharpening the focus of the company. Indeed, like Andrew said correctly, as a company in nutrition, health, sustainable living, and that gives direction to the company. Building on the positioning of us in the past, we can do well whilst doing good for the world. and we can make a lot of money with that. And with that, we will continue to grow much faster than the markets we operate in. And Andrew also touched the point like, oh, that's not easy because then you gain market share, etc. Yes. Then you need to have a very well-positioned sales force. Yes. And we will continue to watch our costs and therefore will grow our EBITDA also at a much higher basis, high single digits. We will focus more on cash generation, and we feel very confident to that future of the company, and that's being reflected in quite a step up in our dividend already from now being 25%. And with that, we look very with full confidence forward to the future of this bright company. Now, Herman, see you.
All right. Thank you very much. That concludes our conference call for today. Thank you very much for attending.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the conference call. You may now disconnect your line. Thank you for your participation and have a nice day.